Well, good morning. It's good to be with you today. And let me just get one thing straight right off the bat. I don't ever deny Tom anything that he wants to do. I think that's important that we that we all know that. No, it was great at 8 o'clock, and it's just a privilege that he would let me speak to you again today. I appreciate that. And I didn't know that today was my two-year anniversary. I didn't know that, and it's funny because the weather is a lot like home today. It feels like Nebraska today in Colorado. And, you know, people say, how can you like Nebraska? There's nothing to do in Nebraska. And there is things to do in Nebraska, but when you go outside to do them, they're frozen. And that's the problem. And so I'm happy to be here today and be with you. We're starting a new series this week. You might have seen it on your bulletin there. What we're calling it is Shine, and what we're going to be talking about is we're going to be walking through 1 Corinthians together over the next few weeks. Tom's going to be journeying with us through that, and I'm kind of batting lead off for Tom this morning with that. And you can open your Bible if you want to 1 Corinthians. We're going to read there in just a minute from the first chapter. But this is just a letter from the Apostle Paul to the church in a city called Corinth. It's a church a lot like ours because Corinth was a very pagan, secular community, and this church was trying to have an impact there. In fact, back in those days, if you wanted to call someone a very immoral, very deviant person, you would call them a Corinthian. And so we're in a similar spot as we try to outreach to Boulder and now Erie and all over the Front Range, is that we're trying to have an impact on our culture. And so we're going to look at this letter together over the next few weeks and see what God would say to us as what he said to the church at Corinth. So let's read together 1 Corinthians chapter 1. If you're still looking, 1 Corinthians is right before 2 Corinthians. Just trying to help. And we're going to read in chapter 1, verse 4. Verse 4 of chapter 1. So here we go. I give thanks to my God always. Okay, you can read with me. Sorry, here we go. Ready? I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So this morning, as we kick this off, I'm going to speak about three values for us at Calvary on a Sunday morning. Church is not a one-day thing. There's stuff happening all week, a lot of different ministries, and you know, we love that, celebrate it. But when we get together on Sunday morning, what are our values? The question might be, you know, why are we here? Not in the philosophical sense of why are we here on this planet. That's another message, and Tom will take that, I'm sure, in the next few weeks. But why are we here this morning? Why are we here on Sunday mornings together? Well, if I asked you that, why are we here? What would you say? Sorry? To fellowship. Good. What else? To worship God. That's good. To serve. What else? Be taught. Okay, let's pray. I think what I'm going to say is probably a combination of all those things, but those will sound familiar as we go on this morning. And really, they're in line with our three values as a church. Does anybody know what our three values as a church are? They're on the front of your bulletin. Worship, learn, and serve. Right. Tom thought you wouldn't know, so way to go. It's a good job. Worship, learn, and serve. That's kind of the palette for what I'm talking about this morning. And as we switch to a two-campus format, as we launch out to the Erie campus, you know, some people have even asked, you know, well, why don't you try something different on Sunday morning? Or why don't you do what this church is doing, this other church? Why don't you do this or that? And this morning I just want to say what it is that our values and the realities that we want to take place on a Sunday morning are and why. And why it is that we're going to keep those as we go to the Erie campus and the Boulder campus. So there's some notes in your bulletin there. if you want to follow along with me that way, or if that reminds you of school, you don't have to, because I don't. I'm with you, people, if you don't want to take notes. First reality we want on a Sunday morning is to magnify God. To magnify God. We want to see God as huge in His power and in His reign and His strength, transcendent, all-powerful, all-knowing. There's a song we sing where it says that God is uncontainable. I like that word, that we can't contain Him. God is uncontainable and magnificent in His mercy as well. God is transcendent and He's also just unthinkable in His mercy towards us. And both of those things are true at the same time. And we want to celebrate our God in those things on Sunday morning. Listen to these verses from Job 38. I think they're going to be on the screens for us. This is near the end of the book of Job. If you know the story, all these terrible things have happened to Job. Job has kind of given God his lament and said his peace. And all of Job's friends have also kind of said their peace. And this is God answering Job in Job 38. And in fact, in verse 1, it says that God answered Job from the whirlwind. And I don't even know what that means, but it sounds scary. And I'm sure that Job was humbled by that as God answered him here. So this is Job 38, verse 4. God says, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? Or what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Or who shut the sea in with doors when it burst out from the womb? When I made clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed limits for it and set bars and doors, and said, 'This far you shall come and no farther, and here shall your proud waves be stayed.' Have you entered the storehouses of snow, or have you seen the storehouses of hail? What is the way to the place where light is distributed, or where the east wind is scattered upon the earth?" Just a rich passage for us as God just lays out, it's actually for three chapters, Job 38 through 41, God just lays out his authority and his knowledge of all things. You know, who came up with the concept of snow? You know, I mean, that was God. Maybe you don't appreciate that this weekend, but that was God. And at the end there, who came up with light and darkness? This is not talking about the sun or the moon. This is just, hey, there should be light and there should be darkness. We should have both and separate it. I mean, that was God. That was in the mind of God. And that's the God that we want to worship on Sunday morning. Listen to, you might want to write down this reference, Isaiah 40, verse 12. Listen to God speaking to the prophet Isaiah. "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and marked off the heavens with a span?" Span was, in those days, was from your thumb to your small finger. It was a span. "He marked off the heavens with a span, enclosed the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Who has measured the Spirit of the Lord, or what man shows him his counsel? Who did he consult, and who made him understand? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in." So that's a lot of heavy scripture this morning. And, you know, the point is that that's the God that we want to worship. We don't want to tie God up in a nice box or tame him or make him easily explainable to you. We want to worship the God of the Bible. We want to worship this God and leave him in his mystery when he's there. And also the things that we can get are, you know, our 3-pound brain around. We want to exalt those things about our God. But we want to magnify him and leave him where he is. We, you know, a reason for that is so that other things take their proper place in our hearts. If we see God as the creator and as we just saying, God is the center, the hub, he's in all and through all, other things will take their proper place in our hearts. You know, we want to exalt God this way so that we worship him. You know, when you were a kid, and me too, when I was a kid, I had kind of a worshipful relationship with my dad. And I pretty much thought he was infallible, you know. And when, you know, as you get older and you know, you start to get a little closer to their height, you go, well, you know, maybe not so much. And then, you know, one day I was like, okay, my dad's 5'9 and I'm 6'2. And, you know, we're done with the whole worship thing at that point, right? You know, maybe in a bad way sometimes, but But the point is that as things become familiar to us and as we can kind of get our hand around things and get our mind around it, we tend to not worship those things. And so we don't want to do that to our God on Sunday morning. We don't want to explain Him as nice and neat and simple. We want to let God be God and cause our hearts to worship Him and exalt Him. So that's a goal of ours on Sunday morning. Practically for us, what this means is that, you know, as John the Baptist said, He must become greater, I must become less. And, you know, we don't want anyone on this stage or anyone who's up here to try to take attention and glory from God. God gets the glory on Sunday morning. And it's great for us to be gracious and grateful to, you know, the musicians, people that are sharing their testimony and different things that happen. We give honor where honor is due. Paul says we want to do that. We want to be generous and kind to one another and gracious on Sunday morning. But the worship and the exalting, we save that for God. We save that for Him. And we want to be intentional about that, that there's no one getting in the way of that. And, you know, really what we want to do, you know, those of us who are up here, is we just want to reflect attention to God. We just want to reflect that. And even as we open up the Word, we want to let God speak through it. So we want to magnify God. That's a reality that we want to happen on Sunday morning and a goal of ours in all that we do. We want to be intentional. It's not enough just to say it. But we want to do that, and we want it to be a reality, that we don't lift anyone else up in that way on Sunday as we meet together. Second reality, second goal we have on Sunday morning is that we would preach the Word. Preach the Word. In the passage we were in a minute ago that we read, it says in verse 5, that in every way you were enriched in Him, in all speech and all knowledge. Here's another letter from Paul to Timothy. Timothy was a young pastor, kind of starting out in his church, and Paul wrote him this letter to encourage him in his ministry. And here's what he said to Timothy. He said, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by His appearing in His kingdom, preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound doctrine. Excuse me. So Paul, it's very important to Paul there that Timothy preaches the Word. And he doesn't just say, you know, this is a good suggestion. This is like a method you might want to try that you should, you know, explore preaching the Word. He says, I charge you, you know, in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, preach the Word. And so that's a pretty heavy authority that Paul is taking there as he addresses Timothy. We want to let the Word of God inform our life. And let it stand on its own. Let it be authoritative in our life. And, you know, let it convict when it convicts. Let it comfort when it comforts. And let the Word stand on its own. We don't want to, you know, water down the Word of God or apologize for hard verses. You know, we believe that the Bible was written to us as a church and you individually. And we want to let it stand on its own. Paul said, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. The whole counsel of God. Now, that's not something that can happen on one Sunday morning, obviously, but I think over a period of time, you'll see that we want to be balanced in our presentation of the Scripture. And we don't want to, there's a term these days, it's called pet doctrines. We don't want to veer towards certain things that we kind of always talk about to the neglect of these other things. You know, over a year or a span of time, we want to present a balanced view of Scripture. It's important to us. Why is that? Why would that be important to us? Well, the Word of God informs your life. It guides us, and it feeds our souls. It feeds our souls. And we don't want you to go hungry on Sunday morning. God's Word is to you. One of the things at Calvary is, you know, there's no gurus at Calvary. There's no kind of go-between between you and the Lord, except Jesus, of course. And we don't want to create an environment where you feel like you have to have the Word dressed up and things all spiffed up for you to be able to receive it. God wrote the Word to you and to all of us as a church, and you can receive it. If you have a money problem, we believe the Bible speaks about that. If you have relationship needs, the Bible talks about that. If you have emotional hurts and needs, the Bible speaks about that too. And we want to let the Word of God inform our life. In 1 Corinthians 2, you might be able to see it there. It's probably the next page from where we're at. 1 Corinthians 2, Paul says this, "And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom." In verse 4, "And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." And that's kind of a chilling passage for those of us up here, because there's actually a way to present the word and a way to do this thing called church where we can actually strip the power out of what God wants to say to us. And Paul says, "I didn't come with persuasive words and lofty wisdom, the wisdom of this world, self-help. I didn't come with that. I just came with Jesus Christ and His word to you." And, you know, even during the week as we're in different Bible studies and things, you know, the best kind of Bible study is the one that makes it so that you run back to the Bible when you're done and say, "Gosh, I need to investigate that some more. I need to look at that because I didn't, you know, fully understand it." And on Sunday morning, sometimes you might go home and say, "You know, I didn't really understand fully what was being said or what that means for my life. Didn't quite get it." And, you know, we just want to say that that's okay. That's okay sometimes, that you would go home and investigate what it is that we were trying to say and what God was trying to say to you. Because again, we can't wrap it up all in a nice, neat package for you. We want you to investigate the Scriptures. The Bible is written to you. And of course, God gave some the gift of teaching, and God raises up preachers and teachers, and the best kind of preaching and teaching is that which causes you to go back to the Word yourself and investigate what God would say. So that's what we want to be about on Sunday morning. We want to let the Spirit be powerful, the Holy Spirit be powerful in His Word. He illuminates the Word for us. That's His role. And the Word of God is food for us. It's food for our soul. And I'll just say it again, that we don't want anyone, including me, anyone else, to go hungry on Sunday morning. It wouldn't be effective for us to meet together if we went home hungry for the Word, because that's why we're here. So we'll remain faithful to that. So magnify God, preach the Word. And the third reality goal for us on Sunday is that we would serve one another and the world. Serve one another and the world. That might seem like kind of a lofty goal for a couple hours on Sunday. But we believe that that happens when we get together. In verse 7 of the passage we were in, Paul says this, "So that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ." We all have gifts that God has given us for service in the body. There's a few ways we can serve one another in the world on Sunday morning. One of them is through tithing and giving. And as Tom said a few weeks ago, those are two different things, tithing and giving. But as we do that, we can serve the whole world. Did you know that as of last year, we support 52 missionaries at Calvary? And I think it's more this year. But when you give on Sunday morning, your money goes to that. And your money goes around the world. And you can serve the world on Sunday. Last week, Jean Wood was up here sharing about her trip to the Sudan. You might remember that. And, you know, she's taking medical supplies. She's taking food. And she's also going to reunite some of the lost boys with their family. The one guy, I remember, hadn't seen his mom and dad for 20 years. And she's going back on that trip, and we support that. Your money goes to that. Your money is going to the Sudan. And so on Sunday morning, you can serve the world here at Calvary in just a couple hours. Also, the poor among us. Jesus calls us to serve the poor, the fatherless and the widow. And when you give on Sunday morning, your money goes to that. We, on staff, we all have an on-call day is what we call it. And really what that means is when people call into the church needing assistance or things, we kind of field the visits and the things for that day. And just in the last few months, you know, I've been able to facilitate helping people with rent. You know, when someone was out of a job, helping them through a tough spot. Some of you in here, you know, we've called you and said, "Hey, this person needs medical work or dental work." And some of you guys have given that free to them. And so on Sunday morning, your money goes to the poor among us too. And that's the way we can serve one another as God calls us to, just for a couple hours on Sunday morning. Another way is through our various ministries you can serve in. One that we always seem to bring up a lot is children's ministry. And you know, it seems like we're always asking people to plug in a certain place and to take a certain role there. And I just want to say this morning, we probably don't say this enough, that the need in children's ministry is not that we would find, you know, X amount of slots for different people. The need is that our kids need Christ. And all of us need Christ. And as you serve in the children's ministry, you might get to share Jesus with a child, start a godly heritage in that family. And I know that happened in my family. My grandfather was an evangelist, and before that, my family was completely the other direction and going the wrong way. And there's been a heritage now for two generations of God's faithfulness. And you can be a part of that as you serve in children's ministry. So that's the need, is that our kids need Christ in the children's ministry. Also, sometimes it's sad because someone will come and attend church, and we'll call them later and ask, you know, how it went, how was your experience? And they'll say, well, you know, it was good, but I didn't get to talk to anybody. Nobody said hi to me. Nobody greeted me. I didn't get to meet anybody. And that's why, you know, the greeter ministries and the ministries in the Calvary Cafe are so important, that people would feel hospitable and they feel like they connected and they met somebody and they might come back. You know, a lot of people are alone on Sunday morning. I've been there on Sunday morning. And so as we, you know, try to be hospitable towards each other, that's a ministry on Sunday morning, that we can serve one another in the world. The kingdom of God is advanced that way. God chose to use us, which is an amazing grace that he gave us, that he would use us in his work. But God will use us for his kingdom. So magnify God, preach the word, and serve one another in the world. Those are three realities that we want to happen on Sunday morning. And what would a church be like if those three goals were happening on Sundays? Well, I think a couple things. We'd be a people who wouldn't think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. If we magnified God and had him in that proper place, saw him for who he is and what he has done, I think other things would take their proper place, and we would take our proper place. And we would see that God, you know, we want the presence of God to infiltrate all of our life, and we wouldn't keep things from him. If we saw him as all-encompassing and transcendent like that. Other thing is we'd be rooted and grounded in the Word. Listen to Psalm 1. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither, and in all he does he prospers. That's what we want for you and for us, that you'd be like an oak tree, you know, next to the stream, its roots are nourished. And, you know, when the storm comes, you're strong. You don't blow over. So many of you have ministered to me when we've seen storms come into your life, and you've stayed strong in the Word, strong in God. And it's encourages the rest of us when that happens. And so if we continue to be faithful to the Word on Sunday, we think that as a people, we'll be rooted in the Word of God, like it says in Psalm 1. Also, we'll be affecting our communities. I feel like if we served one another, if we had a heart for serving one another in the world on Sunday, then that might spill over to Monday through Friday. Jody and I have recently gotten to meet our neighbors, which is kind of a new thing for us because we haven't owned a home till last year. And we've just been moving all the time. And so finally settled down, we got to meet our neighbors, and we walked in. They had us over for dinner, actually, so we went over to their house. And we had some small talk, and then the first thing that the guy said was, "So do you guys go to church?" And I said, "You know, yeah, I go. I go." And they had, you know, a terrible experience with a missionary from a different religion, and he had long story there, but they just had a really bad experience, and so they wanted to know right off the bat, you know. And so we talked to him about that, and we've gotten together a few times since then. Jody goes on walks with his wife, and it's just been great for us to get involved in our community. And I think as we serve on Sunday, as we serve one another, our heart kind of shifts so that it's not about us, and our heart is to serve others, and that spills over into our whole life. I've been a worship pastor for 8 years. And before that, my dad was a worship pastor, so I've been a church rat kind of my whole life. Not a gym rat, a church rat. But you know, there's a difference at Calvary. There's something different about us here that I think is really healthy, and I haven't seen it, you know, before in the places that I've been. And what that is that we, you know, on Sunday morning, we ask something of you. And some of our services actually, you know, require things of you. We let God speak, and we want you to listen. So sometimes, you know, we'll just have times of quiet, times of silence, or just let the music, you know, play. And that asks of you open ears. And, you know, we don't apologize for that. We want you to have open ears on Sunday morning to what God would say. We believe that we're sinners, all of us, and God is our only way. The death of His Son was the only way for us to be reconciled to Him. And so we'll let God's word convict when it does. We'll talk about the cross on Sunday. We'll talk about the cross, and we'll talk about the fact that we all need mercy. And that doesn't feel good all the time. That doesn't necessarily, you know, send us streaming towards the door with a great feeling and let's go get Him, you know, when we do that. And I know that, but again, we want to let God speak, and we want to say those things because it's good for our soul. We'll tell you when we need things, when we have needs. You know what Tom said earlier, what we're in right now. When we have needs at Calvary, we'll tell you. Some churches don't want to do that anymore. But we'll tell you, and that requires of you open hands when we ask for things. So open ears, open hearts, and open hands. We ask those things of you on Sunday when you come. Sunday mornings are not about necessarily pleasing anyone, making anyone feel more comfortable or feeling good after an exhausting week. Those are all byproducts. That might happen while you're here. But Sunday morning's about meeting with God. It's about meeting with God, letting Him speak to us, letting Him comfort us, letting Him, you know, rebuke us sometimes and move us in a different direction. Say, you need to adjust here. That's what God says sometimes to us. We don't want to put, you know, a quick Band-Aid on big problems. That's not what we want to do on Sunday morning. We want to go deep into the Word of God. Sunday mornings are about meeting with God, hearing what He has to say to us, learning from Him, exalting Him in our hearts, and serving for His glory. That's why we're here. And those are the realities that we want to happen while you're here with us. So let's pray together. And maybe just for a minute, in your own heart, why don't you just express to God your affections for Him and His reign and His rule. Why don't you just spend some time expressing your heart to God this morning? Lord, we worship You today, and we're just grateful that in You we live and move and have our being. Thanks for giving our lungs breath this morning. And God, I just pray that You'd give us a hunger for Your word this week, that we would long to hear Your voice and the words that You've already said. We would long to bring those into our heart and go deep. Thanks that you've spoken to us, God, that You haven't left us to our own devices. And God, thank You that we don't need an impressive speaker or any attraction to get us to You, God. But I just pray for us, God, that the cross would attract us to You and that Your Son would lead us to You. Thanks that You've been faithful to us, God, and that we can rely on You and we can lean on You. We're grateful for our brothers and sisters, God, that we can come together and fellowship with them, develop deep relationships, and then worship You with them. We're grateful for that. Thanks for that. Help us to be about these things when we meet together, God. Help us not to try to become wise in our own eyes or use the wisdom of this world to communicate the timeless wisdom that You've given us. Just help us, God. Jesus' name, amen.